Our next story is also climate related. It's about sea level rise. Now, the highest point in Florida is only about 350 feet above sea level, Britton Hill on the Panhandle. So high ground in the Sunshine State has high value, especially with oceans rising. That reality is getting hammered home for residents of Little Haiti in Miami. For years, it's been home to a large community of Haitian immigrants and their families. But here's the thing. Little Haiti is high enough above sea level that it doesn't flood, and it's centrally located. Real estate developers and investors are taking notice and cutting deals. And Haitian-owned businesses say they're being pushed out. WLRN reporter Nadege Green has a story.
Wolin Viogine looks through a selection of white wedding gowns inside his store in Little Haiti. He's the owner here at Viogine Tuxedo and Formal Wear. He hands a poofy gown to Daniela Eugene. She's 17 and drove up from Key West to shop here.
I like this one because she's pretty. She's make me beautiful.
This store like is a go-to for Miami's Haitian community, for weddings, proms, first communions. And Virgil has run it from this spot on 82nd Street and Northeast 2nd Avenue for 32 years. That's about to change. The building has a new owner who also purchased the property across the street. Virgil says the news was a shock to the mostly Haitian-owned businesses here because now they're being told they have to leave. The new owner, Thomas Conway, has asked about a dozen businesses to move out by the end of May. Conway is a well-known developer in the area. He's putting up a new food hall here and owns a co-working space, too. What he plans for these two new buildings is unclear. He did not respond to repeated requests for an interview.
Good morning. Bonjour.
The Haitian businesses and supporters called a press conference to ask for more time to move out and to address the changes in Little Haiti.
To me, this is gentrification at its worst right now.
Claudine Vilson is a community organizer with the nonprofit FUM, Family Action Network Movement. She helped rally the business owners. She said there needs to be a plan to protect small businesses that made up the neighborhood before it became trendy.
Do we count or do we not count? That's my concern. We count. And our voice needs to be heard. It does matter.
Pierre Maximilian runs a travel agency in one of the buildings with a new owner now. He's been here for 9 years and says the new landlord is shutting out Haitian-owned businesses and isn't giving them any options for staying.
He's killing the Haitian business, you know, and what we're doing for the community because we are serving the community.
Maximilian wants to stay in Little Haiti, even if it means paying a little more. He says when he asked if he could rent a smaller space once renovations are complete, the response was,
your rent is going to go much higher than what it is. And I said, how much higher? He couldn't tell me exactly.
The attorney for the new landlord wouldn't comment on future rent charges. It's not just the business owners who say this will affect them financially. Jean-Luca is sweeping in front of the storefronts. He does odd jobs for several of the Haitian businesses. Sometimes he gets picked up as a dishwasher. He says he doubts the new businesses will hire him because he doesn't speak English that well, and he can communicate with the current business owners in Creole. For Virgil, the owner of the formal wear store, his doors are still open for now. He's pinning a client's dress for alterations. He looks up and he says he knows he's at the end of his 3 decades running his shop in Little Haiti. He says he can't afford rent here anymore. And soon, he'll move Virgil Tuxedo and formal wear to North Miami, 15 minutes away. Wolin Virgil worries he'll lose a lot of customers, that they won't know where to find him and think he's just disappeared.
Reporter Nadege Green joins me on the line now from Miami. Nadege, how long has Miami's Little Haiti even been around? Like, what's the thumbnail of its history? And how did Haitian immigrants manage to land the high ground in the first place?
So the area was established after the first wave of Haitians started coming here and settling in the area, like 1980s, I want to say. Mm. And the name was coined Little Haiti by Vital Giste. In Creole, people refer it as T-I-E-T. But it has been a place over time where Haitian migrants would come. It was the center of the Haitian social scene. It was the center of religion. All the Haitian churches were in that neighborhood. All the Haitian restaurants were in
in that neighborhood. But over time, as the Haitian community gained wealth and their socioeconomic status went up, many people moved out of the neighborhood. And so now it's not as concentrated anymore with just Haitian-owned businesses.
So you said at least a dozen Haitian-owned businesses in Little Haiti are set to shut down or relocate. Will that effectively gut the economic vitality of the neighborhood?
I don't think it'll gut it entirely, but definitely a significant portion. I think we've seen over time Haitian-owned businesses leaving, trickling out. So you would see two businesses leave, and sometimes they leave and you don't know why they leave. But sometimes you do know. There was a thrift store in Little Haiti on Northeast 2nd Avenue last year that shut down, and they actually called a press conference before they closed saying that they simply couldn't afford the rising rent costs, but they didn't want people to think they just disappeared. They wanted to explain their absence in the neighborhood, which was it is becoming increasingly more expensive as development happens around the community, as new people move into the community, that they just simply can't afford the commercial rent costs anymore.
And I gather it's not just Little Haiti that's changing. There's also a similar change to the landscape in Miami's Little Havana, right?
It's happening all around. The thing is, in these neighborhoods specifically, you have the more expensive neighborhoods that border them, but people can no longer afford there. So you go north or you go west. Brickell, which is a very high-end neighborhood, very expensive, borders Little Havana. And so you're seeing the blocks that border Brickell, people call it West Brickell. It's actually not West Brickell, it's Little Havana. Mm. And the business owners are saying that, stop calling us West Brickell, we're Little Havana, because once you put the name Brickell on any number of blocks, you expect your rent to go up.
Right. What sets these stories in Miami apart from other stories of gentrification all across the country?
I think this is just part of the national story of what happens. This is just what happens in immigrant communities. You see it in communities across the country where as rent becomes more expensive, as housing become more expensive for a variety of reasons, new people will move in. In Brooklyn, we've seen it. In Harlem, we've seen it. And with the new movement of different folks coming into the neighborhood and with commercial rent costs going up, the people who maybe made that neighborhood over generations are pushed out. Many of the folks in Little Havana, many of the people who live in Little Havana are older and are on fixed income. And so if you're dealing with rising rent costs, if you're not a homeowner, ultimately, you end up getting pushed out as the prices go up. And if you don't own the commercial spaces in this case, for these business owners, you also end up getting pushed out.
WLRN's Nadege Green on the changes afoot in Miami's Little Haiti and Little Havana. Nadege, thanks very much.
Thanks, Marco.